Broadcasting from the Middle Tennessee Electric Studios.
Visit
mte.com.
Middle Tennessee Electric.
Serving to make life better.
Since 1936.
This is WGNS Action Line. Talking with Rutherford County newsmakers.
Since 1947.
This is WGNS Action Line. Now your host, Scott Walker.
This morning we'll be talking about the Rutherford County Library System, and in studio today we have got Mike Cleaves and Trey Gwynn. How are both of y'all doing today?
Cold.
I'm a little surprised by the weather change.
Yeah.
I mean, otherwise fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. Other than that, good.
Snowing one day and 80 degrees the next. Gosh. It's a little different. So what's been happening at the library? And I guess, Mike, starting off with you, you've been on, you took a little road trip, I guess, with the Bookmobile?
Yeah, I took our new donated bus down to Chattanooga yesterday to start the renovation process for Bookmobile 2. We should have about 6 to 8 weeks of renovation time, then we should have it on the road by late April, early May. It was a harrowing trip. We weren't sure if the brakes were working very well, so taking it across Bonneville Mountain was something else, and it snowed, so... But otherwise, it was a good day, and it was a good project to get started. So we're really excited about getting it on the road once it comes back.
Well, I'm glad you survived that.
I'm glad I survived it, too.
Scary.
Yeah.
If you've ever been over Mont Eagle Mountain, it is a little
it's a little harrowing.
Daunting.
Yeah, and imagine doing it in an old school bus where you're not sure if the brakes work.
I don't think I'd want to do that.
That bookmobile life, you got to take a risk sometimes.
That's right. It's a risky life. But, it's life. Worth it for the kids and folks in the rural areas and all that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I knew you'd been doing a lot of work on it, but I didn't know you were putting your life on the line for it.
Like we appreciate that.
Another day at the job.
That's right. So anyway, bring us up to date. It's an old school bus. Mm-hmm. For those listening who haven't heard, it's an old school bus. How old is it? What year is it?
I believe it's a 2003 or 2004.
Okay.
It was donated by Murfreesboro City Schools. They were very generous and gave it to us. It has a brand new engine in it. About 3,000 miles. It's got good bones, so it's really structurally sound. It's just kind of an eyesore right now, but the renovation process should really help us take care of that. We got some good grants from the Governor's Early Literacy Foundation to rebuild it and from our RCLS Foundation. So a lot of people chipped in some big money. We'll be able to make a really nice bookmobile out of it.
I don't know if y'all are at this age in your life yet where you hear it's a model year 2000, and you think, that's not very old.
Oh, no.
And then you start thinking, wait a second.
Yeah.
22 years old. That shouldn't still be on the road.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. When someone says 25 years ago, I'm thinking 1990, 95, somewhere in that range. Yeah. It is not anymore.
It's weird as you get older. You know, you hear these years and you're like, wait, that kid's born in what year? 2005?
Yeah. I know. I just went, when he said that it was, an early 2000s model, I was like, that's not that old.
No, not at all. It's funny, though. And as you get older, it seems like the days and the weeks go by a lot faster. It's happening here?
Yeah.
So anyway, what else is happening at the library? What events or things are coming up?
We are gearing up for Science Across America, which is a really cool program we're putting together in conjunction with the Technology Engagement Center and the Bookmobile to highlight the history of scientific achievements around the country and their local connections.
It seems like we hear more and more about science, I guess STEM and everything throughout our state and states all across the country.
Yeah.
They're really pushing for getting more youngsters involved in sciences and biology as well.
Yeah, from an earlier age too. And what's cool about this particular Science Across America is that they're tying it into the 250th anniversary of the founding of the United States, and so they're trying to tie it into the history of scientific achievement, and then also just some of the goals that we're setting up, or that the Science Across America folks are setting up. Tie into it. So for example, they're trying to do 2.5 million acts of science across the country. We have set a goal too. I can't remember what the number is off the top of my head though.
250 acts of science.
250 acts. Yeah.
That's a lot of acts.
It's a lot of acts.
I mean, that's a lot of stuff.
It's a cool concept because it kind of gets everyone involved in science in a way. We kind of think about the little observations we make every day about whether it's cloudy or if I saw a cricket. And you don't think that's a big thing, but if you report something like that, it's adding to the global database of knowledge that we have. And we're able to track things a lot better. So when average people who aren't necessarily scientists are able to get in and report some of that sort of stuff, it really does help.
It, you know, when you look at the United States, we hear 250 years. It's not that old of a country. Mm. And I'm curious, have y'all ever kind of done research to find out, you know, what year was the first library and was it, I mean, let's say in London, where was it?
The most famous ancient library is the Library of Alexandria in Egypt, which is mostly famous because it burned down. But
can't check out books here anymore.
The history of libraries is fascinating. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have the ancient libraries that were mostly for the elites, but then more recently you have the Carnegie Libraries, which were founded by Andrew Carnegie, who wanted libraries to be available to the public. And so there's even a few of those in Tennessee, as far as I know. Like Rugby out in East Tennessee has a Carnegie Library in it. I've always wanted to stop there, but I never have time when I'm driving like to Gatlinburg or something. But yeah, no, it's great. Libraries, I think if libraries came about today, people would not be like I'm glad it's something that already exists, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And it's really cool how some libraries, I mean, that they have books that date back hundreds of years, especially in, I guess, other countries. But it's just wild. Were they originally designed just to keep those original documents?
I mean, they've always just sort of been a receptacle of information. So if something is printed, you know, back in the old days, it would have only been print. It was just a place to store those documents, so you would always have access to it. You know, and now the cool thing about modern libraries is we're doing digital things. So it's audiobooks, it's computer stuff, it's technology, it's things. If we can catalog it, we find a way to do it and make sure the public has a chance to get access to it.
Yeah, there are libraries, and I would love to be able to recreate this, but there are libraries in like the Scandinavian countries where they do rent a person, where they'll have a list of people who are experts in just random fields, and you can borrow their time and sit down and talk with them about that field. It requires a really robust volunteer system that I'm not sure we have quite yet, but it would be neat to be able to do that kind of thing.
That's wild. You know, you look at those who are in high school today, and it's almost like, I wonder if they would have the patience to sit down and just have that conversation. But man, the history that some people hold is unimaginable.
Yeah. And what's cool is, when people think libraries, they think books, right? And obviously sometimes they think scientific books, but Science Across America is an opportunity for us to do real science, to teach real science to the public. A minute ago we were talking about, Mike was talking about how like observing something is one thing, writing it down is another thing. You know, like Adam Savage of the Mythbusters, he used to say that the difference between doing science and just messing around was that you wrote down your results.
Yeah.
And so, you know, by practicing those 250 acts of science locally and 2.5 million acts of science nationally, we get to teach about the scientific method and stuff like that, which is not the traditional fare that you think of when you think of libraries, but it's emblematic of how libraries are ever changing and ever evolving based on what people need and what we can offer to them.
You know, documenting your results, that's something that I wonder how many scientists out there failed to document all of their notes throughout whatever process it was they were doing. And never made it to the history books.
Mm. Well, you know, the great thing about the modern world is we have a lot of apps for that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So you can go online and find all sorts of places where you can document stuff incredibly easily. I think StarNet is one of those where you can, if you're observing things in the sky, you can go on that app and just report it. And it goes into that global database. And that's kind of what we're trying to support with this project.
Or there are bird tracking apps, mm-hmm. like for people who like watching birds. And that helps that data gets sent back to the people who made the app. And then they that helps them catalog how birds are moving and how their migratory patterns are changing and stuff. So just because someone comes in and does one act of 250 locally, it's going to flow into a much larger stream that is going to, you know, affect science everywhere.
That's interesting. Have you seen the, speaking of apps, have you seen the app that it picks up on whatever birds are around you and it will tell you exactly, okay, that chirp is the chirp of whatever bird it is?
I think one of the apps that we have used in the past for the this kind of, you know, small observations, I think has that ability. It's amazing.
It's wild what you can do today. I mean, just in general, from your phone to a computer, it's just, man, you're unlimited on what you can do.
It's one of the cool things about the tech too, is our technology engagement center, is we're able to embrace a lot of that modern technology and bring it out into the community in a way that libraries really haven't been able to in the past. Because, you know, they're able to focus on projects like this, where they could really put their time into it and make it a great community resource for everybody. And it's something that's very unique to our county. So it's a great treasure to have here.
Yeah, it's nice because, I mean, Mike's exactly right. Like the tech, because it's a shelfless library, they don't really do summer reading programs. So instead, they have really leaned into stuff like this, the STEM stuff, the Science Across America stuff. And it's very, you know, it's very unique. I mean, back when the tech was built, there was only like two libraries like it in the country. I'm sure that there's still only a handful.
Yeah. And we'll hear from the tech in just a little while, but at the tech, at the Technology Engagement Center, do they still have the 3D printers and everything? And I'm curious, have they updated them over the years? Because they, 3D printers are pretty neat.
They do, and I believe they just got a brand new one. They've started, I don't know if they put it out publicly yet, but I know they're testing it.
Yeah, I mean, they're always getting, or not always, but every once in a while a grant will come through that lets them upgrade the 3D printers. So they're always cycling through those, and that has really been a benefit for some of our smaller branches, because we've actually been able to package those and send them to the smaller branches, and hopefully they'll eventually be available to the public there as well.
It's cool that you guys were able to secure grants in order to buy these 3D printers, because the printers that they have there, I mean, some of them are commercial 3D printers. I mean, they're not the ones you would go and buy at the Office Depot.
Yeah, yeah. I've been pricing some personally, and I can't afford them.
So how much are the good ones? Let's say we don't buy a commercial one, but we just buy a good 3D printer.
Like the good hobby grade ones can set you back $2,000 or $3,000.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm. And that's not including the peripherals and the filament and stuff like that.
And that then you need. Do you have to buy the software in order to make that 3D?
No, whatever it is? Not necessarily. There are free 3D modeling. And you never even have to. If you own a 3D printer, you never have to do any 3D modeling, because there are plans, you know, that you can download. There's so many people out there making stuff, that you could print stuff without ever making something or without ever designing something yourself.
And I guess really the size of what you're making, that too is somewhat unlimited, because if you're just building, I don't know what you're building, but let's say it's 2 feet by 4 feet, you would just build layer by layer and then piece it together at the end, I guess.
Yeah. You kind of build pieces, then sort of put it together like a puzzle. And, you know, and the great thing is, as expensive as they are, we have a really nice one here in Rutherford County. If you have a library card, you can use it. Come on down, get some training. They'll show you how it's done. And you can come on in as long as you pay for the material. You can make whatever you want.
It kind of takes me back to the days where, you know, teenage boys, they used to build model cars, model ships, airplanes and all that. And a lot of people still do as a hobby, but you don't see it as much. But that 3D printing kind of allows you to do that, but you can do your own model, whatever it may be.
Yeah, you could print out your own model if you wanted to.
That's pretty neat.
Yeah, your own little car model would be great. You could probably make it work too.
That's even cool. And how detailed is that 3D printer? I mean, if you were printing, let's say, a 3D model of a car, how detailed can you get, like with the mirrors and all of that on the car?
I think it really depends on the printer. It looks like the new one they have now is quite detailed. It's a little bit smoother and makes a better model than the previous model that they had. Precisely how detailed, I'm not really sure. It's not my forte, but from what I've seen them make, it can get quite detailed.
Yeah, it's It depends on how nice your 3D printer is. Think about it like your, this is probably overly simplistic, but think about it like a TV, right? Like the nicer a TV you have, the more pixels it has, the higher definition it is. A 3D printers work similarly, because, you know, they're adding layer by layer over, and slowly building up whatever it is that they're printing. There's we also have 3D printers at our Smyrna branch. I would be remiss if we didn't mention that.
That's true.
If people are interested in the 3D printers, they can come to the tech and check them out. And then while they're there, check out all the Science Across America stuff. Because that'll be available as well.
So after you print whatever it is you're printing in 3D, do you go back and sand over it, or is it usually smooth and pretty much ready if you want to paint it? Can you paint it? All that stuff?
You should be able to. I think you usually have to kind of clean off some of the screws and stuff that hold it down. But typically, the one that comes out is quite smooth and ready to go. You can paint it, I believe. But don't quote me on that. I believe you can.
You can, and you can sand it as well to give it a slightly more polished look. Because it is just plastic. So
yeah.
So you'll just take away that top rough layer.
So the first 3D printer that you kind of played around with that the library got compared to the 3D printers today, can you tell a big difference?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
No, they've come a long way.
Yeah. If we still have a few pieces sitting around at the tech from our earliest, or not our earliest 3D printers, but like some of the very early ones that we had. And if we set them next to what this new one can print, you'd be able to tell a pretty significant difference.
And of course, all across the country, you've got car manufacturers, boat manufacturers. They're building their prototypes now with a 3D printer, as opposed to the old school clay that they used to carve them out of. And that's just wild to me, to be able to print a full-size prototype of a car.
Right. You know, and on a smaller scale, you know, when you need those little parts and things like that that you can't necessarily find that you're looking for to fix your lawnmower, this is kind of how you could do that. Mm-hmm. And it's I think it's such a great resource.
So are there some 3D printers that work with steels and metals of different types?
There are some that have metal embedded in the filament, and so they can be a little bit stronger. It is interesting because my understanding of 3D printing is that it's all about the direction that the force happens, the direction on which the force happens. So remember how a moment ago I was saying that 3D printers print in layers, right? So as long as you're going against those layers, 3D prints can be pretty strong. But if you're going with those layers, they can snap pretty easily. Think about it like, I'm full of bad metaphors this morning, but think about it like a Triscuit cracker, right? Yeah. Like if you, or no, a wheat, what's the...
The Wheat Thins?
No, not Wheat Thins.
Triscuits?
It's a breakfast cereal that's like...
I know what you're talking about. Yeah. Old school Frosted Flakes, not Frosted Flakes,
mini wheats. Mini wheats, yeah.
Yes.
And you know how like...
like that brand.
You can snap them because they're all lined up one direction. The strands are all lined up one direction. Think about it like that. Like that's kind of like a the same type of layout that a 3D print has.
So it's as strong as a breakfast cereal. No, <I'm
kidding. laughs> At least. At least.
Yes.
You know, it is just wild to me how far along we've come as far as sciences go, but how far along the libraries have come over the years and have changed over the years.
Yeah. Yeah, the 21st century libraries are very different places than I think a lot of people think of when they were kids. And we offer a lot more things than people envision when they think of our libraries.
Yeah, like for example, I mean, this is just one example, but the tech is hosting a craft supply swap. Mm-hmm. So like if people are big crafters, like my wife's a big yarn person. Like if she has yarn that's just sitting around that she's not going to use, she can take it to that craft swap and swap it with someone else for something else. And so that's coming up on April 26th. And you know, that's not the kind of thing that you traditionally think of when you think of libraries.
Yeah. I remember the first year you guys did that because it wasn't too long ago. Mm-hmm. It's pretty cool, though. You know, if you're a painter and you paint portraits or whatever, you can bring your paint and paintbrushes mm-hmm. there and swap them with somebody else for, yep. for a different kind of paintbrush. I mean, it's just neat what you can do.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think if libraries had all these different options and avenues years ago, I think as a kid, I would have been more interested in the library myself. You know, because when I was a kid, the max that could ever happen to the library was storybook time, you know, mm-hmm. that was about it, other yeah. than going there to write papers in high school.
Yeah, no.
Well, I think it always blows people's mind that we have video games.
Yeah, it does.
You know?
Yeah.
When I tell people that on a bookmobile, like, can you bring some? Absolutely. We got you.
And you've got a wide variety of video games, not just for one gaming system.
No, most of the modern systems we have going back two or three generations, I suppose.
Yeah, a couple at least.
Yeah. So if you have a modern gaming console, we've got you covered.
That's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Do you remember the older days where I'm all about old days today. I don't know why. But you used to be able to go to the video store. You could rent video games there as well.
Yeah.
Of course, there weren't as many different video gaming systems out there at that point.
Yeah, but if you want that feel of going to Blockbuster on a Friday night, just mm-hmm. come to the library. We're the only place where you can still have that, you know, browsing and picking out what you want to watch. So if you want to relive what it was like to go to Blockbuster, just come to the library.
We used to have so many video stores here.
Yeah.
I mean, Mega Video, International Video, Blockbuster Video. There were a lot.
I kind of miss those. It was a fun thing to do on a Friday afternoon.
Yeah.
You get off work, you're ready for the weekend, go find a good movie, get a game. Chill on Friday night.
Yep.
We still offer that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. And
come
they had,
see us.
You could rent 99-cent videos, which were the older ones, or the newer, you know, brand new releases.
Mm-hmm. And the great thing is, it's free.
So. Yeah, it's even better at the library.
We're not even going to charge you.
Yeah.
So as we close this morning, because we have another segment to get to, but as we close, I guess, folks, what is something they should walk away with or know about?
We'll have the tech and the bookmobile at Earth Day on the 18th from 10 to 2. We'll be giving away, we'll have some raffles. We're going to have some nice handmade tote bags that people can take. They're all free. We're giving those away. We'll have some cool science-y stuff on hand for it, kind of demonstrating ways that libraries reduce waste. So it'll be a fun day. Come and see us. And come join us for Citizen Science Month and Science Across America and see what all the cool stuff we're doing.
Yeah, and follow us on Facebook and mm-hmm. Instagram and TikTok, and we'll, that way you can know what's going on with the library and find out more information about Science Across America and Earth Day and all that stuff Mike was just talking about.
And it's all a work in progress. So we'll be updating as we go. Check in often because we'll have lots of cool things.
Sounds good. Again, Trey Gwynn with us this morning and Mike Cleaves from the Rutherford County Library System. And in just a minute, we'll hear even more about different things happening at the library. So make sure you stay with us.
This message brought to you by the Central Tennessee Regional Solid Waste Planning Board. Visit RecycleRightTN.com for tips, ideas, and locations on where to recycle near you.
Don't be trashy, recycle classy, recycle right, Tennessee.
Recycling isn't just about tossing materials in a bin. It's about knowing which materials are accepted. Go to RecycleRightTN.com.
Recycle right, Tennessee.
WGNS is powered by Middle Tennessee Electric, who remind us that better communication leads to better service. Keep your contact info current at MTE.com so you never miss an update on billing or local outages.
Does your home need freshening up? Let our family at Farrah Construction help you. We do painting, new flooring, anything that you need. If you can dream it, Farrah Construction can turn it into reality. Farrah Construction offers high quality craftsmanship, quick response, and attention to detail. For home restoration at a price you can afford, Farrah Construction can get the job done no matter how big or small it is. I'm Ron Hall. Shop local. Let our family business help you. Farrah Construction Company.
Hello, and happy St. Patrick's Day from the Rutherford County Library System. This is Amanda bringing you library news and events from our 6 branches around the county and what's going on at your library system. 2026 is an important year for our country as we prepare to celebrate the United States semi-quincentennial on July 4th. The Historical Research Center and RCLS as a whole are excited to participate in this one-time celebration with 2 exciting reading challenges. The Road to Reading Challenge is a system-wide challenge running from January 4th until July 4th that includes reading and or listening. There will be a prize drawing at the end, and participants who complete the Road to Reading Challenge will receive a commemorative coin. To complete this challenge, pick up a map at any of our nearest branches, where each dot will represent 200 minutes read. By July 4th, participants should have read for at least 6,000 minutes. Once completed, they'll turn in their paper after July 4th to receive their coin. Our second challenge is the 50 State Reading Challenge, where participants have the option to read a book from each of the 50 states. Again, there is a map available at your nearest branch to keep track of what you've read. Participants who finish this challenge will have an honorary 250th book plate in their name to be placed into a new book. All this and more information is available at 250th.rclstn.org. That's 250th.rclstn.org. And Limebaugh Public Library has a new free vending machine thanks to Archie's promise. Patrons visiting Limebaugh Public Library now have access to a free vending machine stocked with essential items, thanks to a generous donation from the Christie Houston Foundation through Archie's promise. Archie's Promise is dedicated to removing barriers, restoring confidence, and empowering youth and families. The vending machine, which is located on the first floor of the library, offers items such as diapers, wipes, socks, and hygiene products, available to all visitors at no charge. And Linebaugh Public Library is excited to host an album release party celebrating the release of Arirang, the highly anticipated new album from BTS. Members of the BTS Army of all ages are invited to join the celebration and connect with fellow fans. This event will take place at the library on Friday, March 20th, starting at 5:30 p.m., and will feature music, snacks, bracelet making, photo card trading, and a merch table brought to you by K-Pop Nashville. Participants will have an opportunity to enter giveaways, and the first 100 guests will receive a mystery swag box. Also, the Harry Nelson Adult Winter Reading Program at Limebaugh concluded Saturday. The Jake Leg Stompers played us out with a live concert that afternoon. Over $300 in gift cards to Country Gourmet and $200 in books were given away. The winner of the grand prize is about to be determined, and that person will receive two gifts for $125 each, one for Crying Cat Books and Records and another for Domenico's, funded by the Friends of Limebaugh Library. Thank you, friends. As of last week, 50 people had read and reviewed almost 300 books. And remember, RCLS operating hours have changed. These updates are designed to better meet community needs and align staffing and services across the system. As of December 1st, 2025, the following branches now have new hours. Limebaugh Public Library is closed Sundays and closes 1 hour earlier on weeknights, Monday through Thursdays at 8 p.m., while Friday and Saturdays 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. hours remained unchanged. Eagleville Library now opens 1 hour earlier, Monday through Friday at noon, and the Technology Engagement Center remains opened 1 hour later, Monday through Thursdays, from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., with weekend hours unchanged. These revised hours come after assessing how and when our community uses our libraries and guarantee that we are providing services at the times that are most convenient for our patrons while maximizing our available resources. All locations continue to offer 24/7 access to ebooks, audiobooks, and online learning tools through our website. For a list of our updated hours, please visit our Facebook page or our website at rclstn.org. Now let's hear from Limebaugh Youth Services.
Hello, this is Katie Turner, Youth Services Coordinator at Limebaugh Public Library.
And this is Ollie Miller, Youth Services Assistant at Limebaugh.
If you've come to the library recently, you may have noticed some changes in our Teen Reading Lounge. The Teen Reading Lounge is undergoing a makeover as a result of our redesign contest last fall. We're really looking forward to adding some new furniture, study areas, and resources specifically for tween and teen patrons. Ms. Taylor, our teen librarian, even has a new desk in the section. Be sure to stop by and check out all the great activities planned for tweens and teens in March.
Tweens and teens are now encouraged to hang out in the club room every weekday between 3 and 5 p.m. With some exceptions, the club room is now booked for youth services programming after school. Feel free to bring your D&D campaigns or study groups, or participate in one of the many tween and teen clubs already active.
Speaking of clubs, we're ready to let the games begin with our newest teen book club. Each month, we'll be reading a different game-themed book, starting with The Hunger Games by Suzanne Collins. We'll be discussing the book at the meeting on Tuesday, March 31st at 4 p.m. Please let Ms. Taylor know if you need a copy of the book. In April, we'll be reading and discussing The Inheritance Games by Jennifer Lynn Barnes, a story about a girl who inherits a fortune from a man she doesn't even know, or at least she will inherit it if she can survive a year in her new Texas mansion living with the four mysterious Hawthorne brothers and their scheming family.
Our biggest upcoming event is our Tween and Teen Egg Hunt on Saturday, March 21st at 10 a.m. We had a shocking turnout for last year, around 50 people. And now that we know what to expect, it's going to be better than ever. We'll be doing the egg hunt in waves by age this year, so everyone will have a chance to collect tons of candy. Please RSVP online through our website.
The Teen Anime and Manga Club will be canceled in April, as the club runners will be attending the Cherry Blossom Festival that day in Nashville. We invite any interested club members to visit the festival if they're able. This is a free yearly celebration of Japanese culture that Nashville hosts in partnership with its sister city in Japan. Live performances, food, crafts, and shopping, plus you can cosplay. We will resume our meetings in May with an anime-themed picnic at the library.
Be sure to register in advance for the next Y'all Club meeting for tweens on Wednesday, April 1st. The Young Artists of Limebaugh Library, aka the Y'all Club, is an art club for tweens aged 8 through 12 where we practice a new art or craft each month. In April, we're going retro with the 90s-inspired Bead Critters. Make your favorite animals and even more designs with this cool craft that's easy to do at home.
Don't miss our Versus Saturday Storytime on March 28th at 10 a.m. Our challengers this month will be in the theme of long versus short. Join us and vote for your favorite.
The Tween and Teen Creative Writing Clubs, Tween and Teen Board Games, Curiosity Club, Reading Pause Program, Library 101 for homeschoolers, Girls Who Code Club, and Lego Club all continue through March and April. For specific dates or more information about any of Limebaugh Library's programs, please contact 615-893-4131, extension 114, or visit our youth services page at rclstn.org. Follow us for all our events on the RCLS Facebook page.
We hope to see you soon at Linebaugh.
The Friends of Linebaugh Library invite you to become a member. For over 40 years, Friends has given its support to such library activities as the summer and winter reading programs, the Pen Pals program that brings children's book authors to schools, and the popular Bookmobile. Membership forms may be picked up at the circulation desk at Linebaugh Library, Myrtle Glanton Lord Library, and Tech, or email us at foalandtheborough@gmail.com. Once you join, you will receive our quarterly e-newsletter, access to two members-only book sales, and an invitation to our local author event. We look forward to your support.
Spring is in the air at Smyrna Public Library. Kick off the season with our first day of spring plant swap on March 27th at 4 p.m. Bring a plant, take a plant, and share the joy of gardening with your community. Families can also join us for a full week of spring break fun with activities every morning at 10 a.m. leading up to Easter. On Monday, the Murfreesboro Little Theater presents the How to Be a Pirate play. Tuesday, stretch and relax with kids yoga. On Wednesday, stop in and play book bingo for prizes and fun. Thursday, don't miss Outdoor Murfreesboro's live bird demonstration. Maybe there'll be a falcon, a hawk, an owl, who knows? And on Friday, bring the whole family for our featured film of the week, Zootopia 2. All of this at 10 a.m. Plus, don't forget our new Pokemon Club, meeting the second and fourth Mondays at 3:15. Perfect for young trainees and fans of the game. You gotta catch them all. Adults also have plenty to enjoy, too, with our programs like Hooked on Yarn, Writers Club, and Novel Nerds, our book club. Find even more programs and events by visiting rclstn.org. At Smyrna Public Library, there's always something happening for the whole family.
this is Kathleen from the Technology Engagement Center next to Hopgood Elementary School in Murfreesboro. Hello and happy spring in Tennessee. Come visit us and enjoy the Tiny Tech, Tinker Tech, and the Lego Club. Check our online calendar at rclstn.org for days and times. It's very exciting. We have a new club to announce, Pokemon Game Club. Come learn how to play the card game. If you know any Pokemon enthusiasts, spread the word. This is a free, all-ages, family event. Robotech is our robotics club for ages 10 and up and their parents. No matter the skill level, interest is all we ask for. It meets twice a month, and Mr. Mike sends out a reminder newsletter on the off week to recap and provide incentive for the upcoming meeting. Storytime Social Hour is like a library playdate. It has stories and songs, as well as snacks, drinks, and community building. Meet your friends, hang out, and have a great time at the tech. We have some upcoming computer classes, a basic Canva class on the 23rd. Intermediate classes will be held at other branches, so check the online calendar for those. A recording studio orientation on Monday the 18th. Workforce Essentials teaches adult basic computer class every Tuesday at 2 p.m. The one-on-one tech coach is at the tech on Mondays at 1 o'clock. And the last Saturday coding class this month is actually on the 21st due to some scheduling issues. We hope you don't miss it. Books and Brews Book Club is back to meeting at various venues. Be sure to check our online calendar for this month's location and title. And the Sci-Fry Book Club is scheduled for April 7th. Sewing Machine Orientation is by appointment, and we are adding a one-on-one sewing machine help. You bring your own machine for some assistance on your own comfort level. Sign up on the RCLS events page to optimize your sewing skills. Glowforge Orientation is every Saturday at 1 o'clock. Pre-registration is necessary. This is a really cool machine. In a way, it's like the Cricut, in that there's a fabulous online of designs for inspiration. I just think it's a lot of fun. You should come by and check it out. Speaking of crafting, get ready for the second annual craft supply swap here at the Tech. Bring in your unwanted supplies from that hobby that just didn't click and pick out something that does. Drop-off will be April 20th through 24th at the front desk here at the Tech. The swap event will be on April 26th from 1 to 3 p.m. Help save the Earth, upcycle your craft supplies. Earth Day is in April, and the tech staff will join the bookmobile at Rutherford County's Earth Day celebration from 10 to 2 at the historic downtown square in Murfreesboro. This year's theme, Go Green, Breathe Clean, underscores the importance of protecting and improving the air we all share. Visit us and see what fun we have in store.
The Rutherford County Library System comprises 6 branches and a bookmobile throughout Rutherford County, including Linebaugh, Smyrna, Eagleville, MGL inside Patterson Park, the Technology Engagement Center, and the newly opened Historical Research Center. And remember, all RCLS events are free and open to the public unless otherwise stated. Please check our calendar at rclstn.org and social media for a full list of virtual and in-person programming and events. For a list of all the events you heard here today and for more information, please call 615-893-4131 or visit rclstn.org.
Hi, this is Dan with Music World and Drummer's Den. Our prices are as good or better than the box stores. I don't think you'll do better by shopping online than you would by coming in. Being able to hold a guitar, try it out. You can't do that online. I am absolutely sure we have more selection of instruments than anybody else in the area. New and used, we have used instruments as well as new ones. Music World and Drummer's Den, 2762 South Church Street, right across from the golf course. Thank you very much for being our customers.
This is Peter Demas, and our family is inviting your family to come eat with us at Demas's Restaurant. We really focus on value. They get value. They get more than what they pay for. They get a higher level service. They get higher level food at a price that is a lot more affordable. What we're trying to do is we're trying to give people the value, and again, that they were fulfilled both within their stomach and as well as their pockets. We want them to feel satisfied. Come eat with us at Demas's Restaurant on Northwest Broad Street.